Can you hear him now? Pastor and I were talking on Monday, and I said, yeah, you chose this. We go the other way.
You're going to have to switch.
You would switch this better? Feel better?
You're going to help me up in this. I have to go back.
Oh, man. This was you. You look good.
This is better.
You look good. We were talking, and you know what? He said, you know, we haven't team preached in a while, and this is a good week for it. And I said, you're right, because I'm gone for 3 days, and I'm going to be tired when I get back. So if I don't have to talk as much, that's a good thing. And he says, well, I'm a Kentucky guy, and I'll preach, and I'll talk all the time. So, right?
Huh?
So why don't you tell them what we decided, what we're going to talk about today?
Well, what you just saw kind of led us into some thinking, and we like to refer to times when God gives us one of those gib slaps in the back of the head and says, listen to me, just listen. So, first of all, let me tell you that I feel led to apologize to you. We are on our 260 and 260 journey this year of reading through the New Testament together. However, I feel like because of some of the feedback we're not getting, that maybe I have presented that to you too much as a reading assignment, that you go home and read those five chapters and check them off like you're reading a book, and that's your week's assignment.
Yeah, we've done that.
We've done that. And consequently, when that's the attitude, you can lose interest in that pretty quick. And a lot of people falling behind and that kind of thing. And it's like, boy, I've blown it. If that's the message we sent, that this is your reading assignment each week so we can get through this New Testament together. We don't want you to read the New Testament. We want you to listen to the New Testament. Because this is God's Word, and He's speaking to us. And I hope that every week, as you read those chapters, and we're doing it very slowly, guys, one chapter a day, just 5 days a week, that you will read it slow and carefully, maybe read it in two or three different versions or whatever you need to let that passage really sink into you and be open to the Holy Spirit as something may very well jump off that page and speak to you as if you could almost hear God say, I know where you're at and this is what you need. So, let me reemphasize our 260 and 260. We're not just reading the New Testament. We're going to read it as we listen to God speak to us.
Amen.
Through His Word.
Amen.
Jesus was in one of those moments in Matthew, what is it, chapter 22, verse 29, when He's talking to the Pharisees. And boy, they're just going off about everything, trying to trick Him and test Him and all that. And He says, you are in error because you don't know the Scriptures. Learn the Scriptures. Now, that doesn't mean just read them, because they knew them as far as being able to quote them. But they didn't know them.
Yeah.
And He's telling them the error is that you don't know the Scriptures. You don't understand what it's saying. So listen as you read, okay? And then I'd like to say that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Paul is telling us there that the Word of God is living. It's a living organism. This is a living Word from God, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I want you to be sure you're reading the Scriptures each time, understanding that's a living Word from God. Okay, does all that make sense? Now, I've pulled in a big gun to help me. Okay, you're talking about them big guns.
You got a celebrity here.
Yeah, how many of you know Jackie Chan? No.
No.
I told you I was going to do that.
He said you're going to do that.
Francis Chan. How many of you know Francis Chan? Read his work? Listen to him? Oh!
Crazy.
I highly recommend anything you can get from Francis Chan. He was out in his yard working, and this hit me so personally because I was doing this at our home there in Florida one day, and two Jehovah's Witnesses walk up. And they just want to know, can we talk to you? And he says, oh yeah, because I want to talk to you too. And they start sharing, and they get into this part I want you to see from Jackie. He says it so much.
From Francis.
Oh, see, I did it again. Francis.
Did you watch Rush Hour last night?
I must have. It's been recent, I guess. Francis Chan, just a couple of minutes here. Watch this part. This is so powerful.
Here's all you need to know about me. I'm a human being just like you. And I get alone with that book. I get alone with the Bible and I just read it and I see stuff I'm supposed to do and I do it and I pray to that God in that Bible, that Jesus who died on that cross for me. And I just read that and I pray to Him and He listens to me and He's changed me and everything He's done in my life, it just blows my mind. And she goes, "That's your problem." That was literally what she goes, "That's your problem." She goes, "You read that book by yourself." She goes, "You can't understand that book unless one of our leaders explains it to you." And I said, "See, that's your problem." I said, "You're putting all of your trust in someone else." I go, "Do you understand this is about your eternity? This is about heaven and hell. And you are putting all your trust in what someone else tells you." And you understand, man, I think some of us in the room do this. Some of the things we believe and do and hold so dear is not because we found it in this book. It's because someone told us, and I'm not saying that we don't listen to people who know more than we do. Man, I think there's a time to listen, but at the same time, you know, I see a lot of believers just grabbing on and listening to someone because they're a popular speaker, or listening to someone because he's a good singer, someone appears really intelligent, you know, quotes some Greek words that you don't know any better, you're like, "Okay, I guess." And you just start listening, and you just follow these supposed scholars. And just like I told those ladies, I go, "Look, you would never come up with some of these conclusions if you just read this book over and over again. I mean, right now, you guys believe that Michael and Jesus are the same person. You really would have got that from the Bible? You only believe that because someone told you. If you put this verse over here, isn't that kind of the same?" Yeah, I go, "Man, just read it for yourself."
It is a matter of eternity. It's a matter of heaven and hell. And this book is God's Word to us. And we want you to always use and approach your Scriptures as God's Word to you, not just a book to read or an assignment for church. Now, having said that, we thought what would be a pretty good idea is if we shared and asked a couple others to share with us, just from this week's reading, for example, which was 1 Corinthians 13 through 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If there was a particular verse or a couple of verses or a passage in there that really jumped out at you, that spoke to you this week. So we went back and reread it ourselves again and again. And it was full. I mean, just full. When you start with 1 Corinthians 13, you know, where do you go from there? But as we did, I ran across a couple of verses that really, really spoke to me this week, Jeff.
I'm ready.
Chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles and don't even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But," that's one of those beautiful buts in the Bible here, "but it's not about me."
No.
"It's about God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet, not I, but the grace of God that was with me."
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Look, that's what I wrote. That's one of the one I was going to use right there. God did it. Now I was ready to talk about
this. I spoke first. Look through there and find another one.
You keep going. I'll figure something out.
Here's why I encourage you also to sometimes just read in another version. One of the what has happened there in context, if you remember, Paul's talking about the appearances of Christ after His resurrection, how He appeared to Peter and James and to the 12 and to the 500 brethren at once. And then he says, "And last of all, to me, as one born out of due time and season." And he says those words. Now, in this version, it says, "It was fitting that I bring up the rear." I don't deserve to be included in that inner circle, as you well know, having spent all those early years trying my best to stamp God's church right out of existence. But because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am. And I'm not about to let His grace go to waste. Mm. Now, my wife has known me for a long time. We were young. You're not a teen till 13, huh? So it was preteen. She's known me that long. So she can tell you that I haven't always been this wonderful, exciting, good man that I am.
I believe it.
She could write a book, call it My Two Husbands. Okay. And Paul, those words just spoke to me because I know where my past is. I know what I've done. I know, even as a Christian, how many times I have failed the Lord. I know as a minister how many times I have come up short of what I needed to be doing for His body. I know as a Christian brother the times I've let people down. And on the list goes. And I've heard so many people say to me over the years, oh, God could never love me. In fact, if you knew me, you wouldn't love me either. And it's so wonderful to be able to tell them with such joy, oh, He does love you. And I don't care where you've been.
Amen.
God is speaking to you. And then the beauty of showing them His Word, His living Word. He wants you to hear that I love you. And it's not about how bad you've been. I want you to learn how gracious God is. Mm-hmm. You see, He didn't die on the cross because we were so good.
No.
He died on the cross because we were so bad. And every day I'm growing to learn more and more how much I'm sorry that He had to go to the cross, because I know it was a whole lot due to my sin. But I am reveling every day more and more in the knowledge of His grace. Mm-hmm. Because, no, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be in the pulpit explaining God's word of grace and forgiveness to you, knowing the steps I've taken in life. But it's not about me. Because God is so gracious and so generous, I am what I am.
Amen.
Now, that spoke to me this week.
Yeah. I kind of had the same thoughts.
Did you?
God must have wanted that scripture spoke.
I'm glad I'm the senior minister.
Well, on that note, we have a couple of ladies we asked to talk about what jumped out at them this week, just so if Rhonda and Miss Sandy would come up. And they're going to just tell you what spoke to them as they read the five chapters. And whoever gets the mic can go first.
Run.
Okay. I'm not getting between. You stay right there. I'm back here. No, you're between them.
I told him I want to go before Sandy because she'll do way better, and you can't compare me if I go first.
Wow. Would you like something? You want to set that on here?
Sure. So I'm a little nervous because usually I talk to six-year-olds, and you all are way bigger. So.
Thank you.
You are.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. On that note, I want to go sit down over here with the big boys.
So the scripture that hit me first was 1 Corinthians 13, and talking about love, and that it's love is patient and kind. I know we all know this scripture, and I was like, I don't want to talk about that because everybody talks about that, and they all know it, and they don't need it. But then God reminded me to go look up 1 John 4:8, and it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So I looked up love in the concordance, and the same love that describes God in that scripture is the love that's in 1 Corinthians 13. And so I did what I've learned in my Bible study over the years, and I put God's name in place in that scripture. Oh. And it reminded me that God is patient.
And yeah.
God is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking like Satan is. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of my wrongs.
Whoa, praise the Lord.
God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails.
Amen.
And I needed that because oftentimes when I look at that scripture, I think about the areas I need to get better at with my own kids and with my students. But then when I'm reminded that this is who God is, He's the one that I'm praising and He's the one I'm learning from and He's the one teaching me and loving me through my growth.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's it.
Hopefully you felt the love on that. Where's Nick with the ba-dum-bum? Okay, no. All right. So the scripture that spoke to me this week was 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. The scripture speaks about how God comforts us in our times of trouble so that we can comfort others with the comfort we receive from God.
Amen.
The word comfort is mentioned 9 times in that chapter. When we think of someone comforting you in your time of need, what does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? We all have had and will have times when we're in the valley, whether it's due to sickness, financial strain, the loss of a loved one, marital stress, problems at work or school, stressful situations, and maybe even addiction battles. When I was in Diane Waddle's women's class several years ago, someone in there said, God won't ever waste your pain. And I claim that, and I believe that, that when God brings you to it, He will see you through it.
Amen.
I know that from the experiences we've had with our son, and the power of prayer is so overwhelming and so great. We can get so overcome and cry out to Him in anger or in frustration or in hurt. But I believe that God can and will work in you and through you to help someone else down the road who has a similar circumstance, just as that scripture says. Sometimes we have to be still and know that He is God and that He's got this. You don't. My prayer for all of you this week is that God will bring someone into your life this week that you can comfort just as He comforts you.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Wow. Two different people.
Wow.
Two different scriptures. God had something to say to both of them. Are we switching?
Yes, I can touch the floor here.
Okay. That's powerful. That's what the scriptures is all about. That's what taking time and reading the scriptures is all about.
That's what we want you to come away with.
That's exactly
not,
what
not
it
just,
is.
Not just a check-in.
I mean, we can tell you what we get from scriptures and God wants us to say when we get up here. And it may touch you. It may hit you where you're at that day. But there may be something else God wants you to tell you from those 5 chapters. And we hope you take the time to really listen to what He has to say. Now, I was thinking about what I should preach, not preach, but talk about on this. And David and I, we did discuss that other scripture, but we both did. That was both one we had circled, and we didn't really argue about it. He said, I want to do it, and I said, okay.
That's the smartest youth minister in town.
That's right. We tease each other a lot, for those of you who are guests who are here today, but
yeah.
The love and respect I have for this man. I heard some great communicators this weekend. But I hear love when this man speaks.
Oh, thank you.
Not just for God, but for this congregation and the people in this community. And I'll take you any day over Francis Chan, brother.
Oh,
I mean that.
Thank
so.
You. Yeah, thank you.
Except for when I'm on 4 days of no sleep. Then, yeah. then I might need the Francis. But honestly, I love serving with you. But I couldn't. I was like, what should I do? And then I came up with 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot in that, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a lot to hit you with if you're listening to God. And then I'm at the conference. First sermon. Pastor David Chris Hodges from Highlands is up there speaking. Speaking on love. Now, I wasn't using 1 Corinthians 13. But a couple things he said made God go, Because I avoided it because, like Rhonda said, everybody knows it. Everybody's heard it. You hear it at weddings. We can talk about that some other time. But you hear it a lot. I don't want to. And Chris kept preaching. I looked at Tiana and said, I'm going to have to. I got to listen. And so I switched and I went back to the good old 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, which Rhonda just loved. Love, just read that love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I mean, that's powerful. I'm not denying the power in those scriptures, but we've all heard it. I don't know how many times if you grew up in church. And this is the thing. We can both read the same scripture and God can hit us with something a little different. And that's what happened here. I want to look at love broken down. Those words, love, what love is broken down from that scripture, and I want to talk about the no's, the things that love is not. And yeah. Look at that, love is not jealous, right? It's not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not demanding. It's not irritable. It does not keep records. That's a tough one for me.
Well, listen, wives, that means when you get mad at your husband, you can get hysterical, but you cannot get historical.
You want to take what you got? I preach it, brother.
No. Woo! Just saying.
Senior pastor said that, not the youth pastor. Okay. I did not say that.
No record. Keeps,
and I'm not going to write that one down. Okay. Does it rejoice about injustice? No. Does it give up? No. Does it ever lose faith? No. That's awesome. That's right. See, I told you it'd be good to have the kids in here for this one. And then, let's look at the yeses. What it's all about. Tiana's going to put them there aside. Look at those. Is love patient? Yes. Is it kind?
Yes.
Does it rejoice in the truth?
Yeah.
Yes. Is it hopeful?
Yes.
And does it endure?
Yes.
Yes. Look at that yes list. Woo! And I'm sitting there going, I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do. Tiana, am I ever irritable? Oh, get to Baylor, kid.
You were supposed to say no. No, it rejoices in the truth.
Yeah, I know. That's why I got to let it go.
She loves you, man. She loves you.
Right, you know. Any of you ever gotten frustrated and gave up?
Ooh.
Maybe struggle with your faith a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I don't play softball anymore.
I don't even have to ask it, but I will. Polly, have I ever been demanding? Sometimes. Thank you, honey. I'll pay you later. These are things that I have to work on. And that's what God's telling me. You're not there yet. But I am.
Yeah.
He is there. Rhonda already said 1 John. She already talked about that scripture and how God is true love. And He is love. And God is love, right? But He's true love. And here's the thing. This is one thing I learned from Pastor Chris Hodges is sitting there on that first day. True love doesn't want something from you. It wants to do something for you. It wants to do something. It's not worried about what you could give it or what. It wants to do something for you. That's what true love's about. If you have someone in your life and you love them, you just want to do something for them. You want it, whatever it is. It's not about what you get from it. That's true love. That's what God is. What can we give God? Other than a headache, what can we give God? Right?
So you're saying love is a verb, not a noun.
Yes. That's powerful.
That's good.
But really, what really God spoke to me about were these next two things. Number two, God loves us. John 3:16, we saw it earlier in the scripture or in the video. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
That's love. That is love like I can't even compare or fathom. That's how much He loves. You talk about sinning and messing up and all the different paths we've gone down and choices we've made, good and bad. Who loves us through all that?
God.
God. That is powerful. And then the third thing, and this is the reason I didn't want to do this one, because this is the one you've got to struggle with, is we are called to love. You look at those three scriptures up there. The first one talks about the good old love God first, but then love who?
Your neighbor.
Your neighbors. Your neighbors. I got some good neighbors. But sometimes, you know, it's hard.
We got one we struggle with, right?
Yeah. It's hard. Go back, think about that yes and no list. It's hard. The second scripture up there talks about loving your enemies.
Mm.
Wow, that's hard. I don't have a lot of enemies that I know of, which is probably a good thing. But there's a couple that probably fit that technical category. Record keeper, that's a tough one right there. Right? This is, and then the third one there is about loving one another. That's really talking about us, man. And we love you, Pastor and
yes,
I do.
Yes, we do.
We love you, and trust me. After Thursday, Jim, I got no more love for you than I ever have, man. I love you. Sitting out there, and I'm telling you, not one person stopped. By
Isn't
the way,
something in a church van.
Not in a church van. Yeah, it's not like they were all holding handguns out there, going, "Come on." They were sitting on the, you know, the metal barrier there, just sitting there going, We had to walk away from the van to get some shade. But
sent a tow truck from Champaign to Alabama.
So yeah, we'd already gotten a tow to get off. To pick it up from the hotel
and
parking
lot. And bring you a rental
and
car.
And bring us a rental car.
That's love.
That's love.
That's pretty good.
And so loving one another, that one's a little easier most of the time. But if you've been around a church family long enough, you know there's times where you've stepped on each other's toes.
Mm.
Or you've been frustrated with something said or something somebody did. That's never happened to you in all your years, has it? No.
Just yesterday.
But that yes and no list, what love really is. Patience. Woo-hoo! Don't get me behind a car and have to be in traffic. Whoa, patience goes right out the window. Kindness. I mean, they're all there. And God's saying, I'm not done with you, but with me, we can do it. If you walk beside me, I am love. Here's the thing about it all. This is the thing about love, all that stuff. If you want to love one another, love enemies, love your neighbors, love your spouse better, love your kids better, love your pastor better, all that stuff. Here's the thing about it. You can't give it if you don't accept it. If you haven't accepted Christ in your life and accepted that love in your life, how can you return it out to others if you don't know what it looks like in your own life? Love your neighbor as your what?
Self.
Yourself. You have to accept that love. And if you're thinking, I can't because I've done so much. What has God not seen? There's nothing He can't overcome. And some of us have accepted Christ, but we truly haven't accepted that love. Because it's scary to love that way. You're putting yourself out there in a way that you can't even imagine. But the return on that love and what it's going to mean to the person you're giving it to and what it's going to put back into your life and what it's going to put into God's plans, immeasurable. Immeasurable. But you can't give it away. You can't give it until you accept that true, real love, which as Rhonda said, is God. That's what that first spoke to me this week. And that's why God said, you're going to say it. Okay, you win.
I'm glad He won.
Yep. So let me ask you guys, what are you going to get today? What are you going to do with what you've heard? What are you going to take away from it? We want you to get into the Word, not just as a checklist. We've talked to some of you and you said, I'm behind. We're not your teacher. Look, get the assignment book out.
No
report cards. This is between you and God. The reason we wanted to do this is one, we're all in the Scriptures together, which is amazingly powerful.
Yes.
But two, it's so that relationship for you can grow. Because that's what it's really all about. Because unfortunately, we don't go to work all together. We don't do life all together. We do a lot of things together. We are a loving family, but we don't do everything together. Some cruise together. Some play golf together. Some throw golf clubs together. But we have to grow relationally to God. And what we wanted to talk about is that when you read the Bible, or when you come to church, or when we get together, and this is something else I'm stealing. I'm sorry, gleaning from the Motion Conference.
Gleaning.
But when you get to, when we get together on Sunday, or when you're reading your Bible, it's not an event. We're not here for an event. We're here for a moment. A moment with God. And you know what?
Let me say something real
quick. Okay, go ahead.
My oldest daughter, firstborn, is here, Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
I remember, Barbie, tell me if this is right. When, you know, they're middle teens and in love. Remember those days? We used to have phones, believe it or not, that had a cord hooked to them. And it never told you who was calling. And so you just pick it up and say hello. And I picked the phone up and said hello. And it was so-and-so. It was for Leanne. And I said to our intercom system, is just holler down the hall.
Right, right.
You know what I'm talking about? Leanne, it's so-and-so for you. You know what I'm saying? Here she comes, running down the hall. Give me the phone.
I think she remembers that.
Oh, she remembers those days. Yeah. And then the next thing is, okay, you can leave now, Dad. Yeah, right. I say that because, do you remember those days, and you were probably there at one point too, when someone told you that person you were so in love with and just couldn't wait to hear from again called, it was like, oh, yes! You drop everything. It doesn't matter if you're in the middle of homework or TV show or what. Yes, I want to talk to them. I want you every day, when it comes time for you to sit down with your chapter, to just look at the world and go, God is calling. I'm going to go talk.
You going to scream down the hall?
Yeah. It's my time. Folks,
we're going to call it your Leanne moment. Until you just say it.
You remember how that first video started out? God is speaking.
Yeah.
He wants you to hear Him. So, just make this your love call from God.
And I was going to say, my son gets it. He's Mike Cornwell, thank you. You've challenged my son, and he's going to get all the points he can get from you. But it's a part of it's reading the five chapters a week. He turns his TV off. He gets sat in his chair, and he reads. I was like, man, he does that better than I do. Because sometimes we leave our phone sitting there, right? Or we get, but he's got it. He's going to read. He's not, because he knows he can get easily distracted. I was like, boy,
that's pretty good.
My son Noah teaching me already. And so have your moment with God, because guess what? Unlike an event, a moment can change you.
Oh, yeah.
A moment can change everything. And we just got quick suggestions for you to help you with your time. If time, God, make this Bible time worth reading. One, set aside the time. Make the time. Whenever it is, set aside the time. Two, pray before you read. Say, God, my heart's open. I want to listen. What do you got for me? Number three, listen. After you're reading, listen. Listen for God's voice. Write in that Bible. Write on a piece of paper. Type whatever it is. Put it down. And number four, whatever He tells you, go and do.
Go and do.
Go and do.
Don't be hearers of the Word only.
Be doers.
Do what it says.
Amen. And don't just check it off.
Amen.
So.
We hope we've challenged you a little bit more. And again, if we've made it appear like a light assignment, please forgive us.
Yes.
I know many of you have always looked at your scriptures that deeply, continue to do so. You are hearing from somebody that loves you to pieces. And Jeff, I think I speak for you and Polly, pretty positive. When I say, guys, we love this church.
Oh, yeah.
We love this church. And when I was talking about don't deserve, I listen to colleagues in the ministry all the time talking about what they're going through. And I just have to say, well, praise the Lord. Man, I'm glad you didn't find mom before I did.
Same thing, youth ministers. I only have this, or they won't support this. I ain't got that problem here. Thank you.
How many youth ministers you know that had somebody in the church come from here on down to Alabama to bring you back?
How many youth ministers you know where they keep feeding you Mountain Dew? I mean, I got a maid.
We love you guys. You are amazing. If you're a guest today, or if you've been worshiping for a while and you just want a church home that tries to be as much like God as possible and loves one another, loves you because you're you, and loves you because we know what it is to be loved, can accept you because we know what it is to be accepted,
yeah.
Can fellowship.